As we consider the end of our day, the end of our year, the end of our life, the end of the world, and the beginning of the new world, consider the words of the psalmist, Psalm 90, which is appointed for New Year's Eve. Psalmist writes, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood, and they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. In the name of Jesus, amen. People have always sought time-telling devices. The ancient civilizations, as far as I could tell, were known to have used the position of the sun and the moon and the stars. They also were known to have used sundials and hourglasses. In later times, we saw the development of mechanical clocks. And at the dawn of already the 20th century, telling time became quite as easy as just looking at your wrist, as the advent of the wristwatch was in vogue. And as technology advanced, so dawned the atomic clock with its near preciseness of what hour or minute or second it was within that day. And so as time is marked and history is recorded and events are chronicled, we realize that no one can live life as if every day were just the same carbon copy of the previous day, even with the nature of monotony that sometimes we feel each day is. For we, the creatures of God, are built with a time cycle, both in our days and in our years, night to day to night, built up into weeks and into years, light to dark and then dark to light again, life to death and then life and then death to life again. There was evening, there was morning, the first day, God said. How people and civilizations dealt with those facts and with time has certainly changed over the years, based in various feasts and festivals, some holy, some profane, some good, some evil. But for the people who believed in Yahweh, in the Lord of Israel, those who believe in the Holy Trinity, the passing of time has never been a tedious toiling of your grandfather's clock. It has never been, nor can it be, for you a despairing lamentation of the past or fatalistic resignation of the future. Sorry, old anxiety, or however you say it, literally days gone by, that song we all like to sing this evening And as historians like to say, it's a song that everybody knows, but they don't know the words to it. But these two options of despairing lamentation or fatalistic resignation cannot be the position and the confession of the Christian because of the first verse of Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place, our refuge in all generations, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And yet our flesh cries out, this is anything but obvious. Nothing in the world suggests this truth. It's not obvious when we look at the state of our world, the state of our families, the state of our life. It's not obvious when we consider the shortness of our lives and that death comes to all without exception. It's not obvious that God is God and that He is our refuge when we see so much pain and suffering associated with sin and death. That God is God and that He is our refuge and our strength would seem to even the Christian at times and under the naked eye and under this sun to be an empty promise. And yet in Psalm 90, the only psalm attributed to Moses, we learn to view death rightly. For we see it not simply as part of being human, as if being human meant that we die, by definition. No, not correct. We see it not as a natural part of our life, nor as something to accept and simply to move on from and until that is death meets us. You see, Moses doesn't know of any sign of death that is not the sign of God's wrath and His punishment of sin. Moses hears the terrible consequences spoken over the head of Adam. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread all the days of your life until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Moses sees this enfleshment, this carrying out of God's warning to Adam over and over again, as we see it over and over again as our loved ones die. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Death is not natural. It's certainly not your friend. Each second, each minute, each hour that ticks from the clock of our lives should be a reminder that we live under the threat of death and that we deserve it fully as we confess in the confession of sins. Or as the psalmist Moses puts it, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to end like a sigh. So it is that we must, in the language of the psalmist, in the language of the gospel lesson read tonight, so teach us, O Lord, to number our days that we may gain, we may receive a heart of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as you know. And to know that death is the result of sin, and that sin is ours, both corporate and individual, is the fear of the Lord who is the righteous judge. But that is only the beginning of wisdom. There's a greater wisdom that furthers that. That there is a cry of the sinner for mercy that comes from the one who knows that God's just and righteous judgments are true upon sinners. And so they cry out in the words of the psalmist, return, O Lord, how long are you going to make me suffer? Satisfy me in the morning when with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and that we may be glad. that we may have this gladness for as many days as you have afflicted us, and as for as many years as we have seen all this evil. Moses knew well the results of sin, but he knew just as well the sort of things that the Lord does in the morning for his people. We head back to Egypt. When Pharaoh drew near to the people of Israel, people of Israel lifted up their eyes and they called out to Moses because they beheld the Egyptians were marching after them and they feared greatly that they were going to be overrun by them. And the people cried out to the Lord, to Moses, and they said to Moses, Is it because there's no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into this wilderness to die? And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm. You will see the salvation of your Lord, for he will work this day for you. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and he will be your Savior. He will be the one to rescue you. All you have to do is be silent and listen. And as you know, as the narrative goes, the people cross between the walls of the sea, and Pharaoh and his armies followed them in. And in the morning watch, the Lord, as the pillar of fire and cloud, looked down on the Egyptian forces and through the Egyptian forces on and into a panic. And clogging their chariot wheels, they could not drive out of this heavy mud. And when Moses stretched out that staff again, as the Lord had told him, then the waters came back to their normal course in the morning and the Egyptians died. In the morning, certain death, however, was averted for the Israelites. In the morning, enemies were swallowed up by the sea. In the morning, salvation was brought to the people of God. In the morning, very early in the morning, there was an empty tomb, was there not? And there was resurrection. There was the beginning of new life. Life that would never end. So we contemplate that each new morning that our eyes awake, whether it be in this world or the world which is to come, is a new beginning of our life. Each day is a self-contained whole. The present day is the boundary of our cares and our toils. It is long enough for us to find or to lose God, to keep faith or to fall into sin and disgrace or shame or unbelief. But you see, God created the night and the day that we might not wander around without limits, but rather that we might already see our goal, namely evening lying before us in the morning. For just as that ancient sun rises anew, so also do we know that God's eternal mercies rise to us new every morning. Lamentations chapter 3. So being able to grasp God's ancient faithfulness anew each morning, being able to begin a new life with God daily in the midst of one's present life with God, that is the gift that God gives to us each new day, each morning, in the reality that we are a baptized and forgiven people. So in Holy Scripture, we must remember that miraculous things are done in the morning. In the hour of God's help, for the church, the hour of joy after an evening of weeping, the hour of proclamation of the divine word, the hour of the daily distribution of the Holy Supper, in anticipation of the wonders of God, prompts us to believe and to rise early in the morning. For sleep, the sleep of death, can no longer hold those who believe in the morning of the resurrection. for they hasten towards God's early and forgiving grace. So when we wake up, we dispel all the sinister forms of the night and all the confused dreams that we maybe try and make sense of, the past and all that has happened, by immediately uttering or at least attempting to try and have a routine of praying in the morning. And commending our bodies and our souls in the morning to God's care, and then in the evening commending our bodies and souls into God's care that we might see another morning by His grace. It's not that our plans and our worries, nor is it our eagerness to get up and work, that should fill the first moments of our day, but rather that God is liberating in His grace, and that God is blessed, and that He is near us always in His Word and Scripture and Supper. For Holy Scripture says to the one whom anxious worry wakens him prematurely in the night, "Is it in vain that you rise up early and then sit for long afterward, eating your bread with tears?" It's not the anxiety concerning the day nor the burden of the work that I plan to do, but rather that the Lord, who is the one who morning by morning awakens me. Morning by morning, He awakens my ear to listen to Him as one who is taught, as one who is catechized. Thus is said of you, servants of God, people of God. Because before the heart opens itself up to the world, God wants that first word to be His. Before the ear perceives all the innumerable voices that are going to come in that day and all the grief that may or may not come in the day, it should hear the voice of its Creator and Redeemer early in the morning. And so it is for you. In the morning, God awakens you by the ear with His Word, so that as you consider the end of your day, the end of your year, whether it be 2018 or whatever year it is, number doesn't really matter, the end of the world, or as you consider darkness and night and death, you're to see like the Israelites saw in the Old Testament, but in a greater way with the vision of Christ, to see the salvation of God coming to you in the morning. Because that salvation came for Israel, it came for Jesus, it came for you in the morning. Death cannot have the last word, nor for your life and nor for the entire creation itself. Remember what the psalmist says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." All these days, all these years filled with reminders of sin and sorrow and regret and death. And yet, we Christians know that the morning is coming. That the crucified yet raised Son of God is coming. That empty tombs are coming. Millions of them are coming. Resurrection and everlasting life are coming. For in the morning of your life in Christ, He drowned your enemies in a sea of holy baptism, which He tied to His death and His resurrection. And now He feeds you, whether morning or evening, with the holy manna of His body and His blood. So that until the morning of that glad new year, not just another year, but the eternal years of God's heavenly city dawn forever, and night will be no more. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.